Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Waking up on Monday, and the coffee just can't quite wash away last night's six-pack of hams. But Tuesday brings the promise of making things all right, but you still drive to work in your family's minivan. The doctor calls on Wednesday, right before your flight, to talk about your colorectal exam. To work on Thursday and your boss is all uptight because you didn't push your best-selling brand. But now it's the Friday drive and it's story time. Yes, it's story time, the one time a week when you can truly plan to kick back and listen to story time. Yes, it's story time, we're pushing it out on every airwave we can. We're on both 105.1 and 1080 The Fan, part of The Fan's Global Sports Radio Network.
All right, it's the 129th Civil War tomorrow, Oregon and Oregon State. Joey Harrington with us. Does it feel like rivalry week to you?
No.
Yeah. That was a no, deflated no.
I mean, I actually, if I'm being honest, I have more rivalry feelings for Central Jesuit tonight than I do for Oregon, Oregon State right now. And not because I don't have a rivalry with Oregon State, but it's because of what has happened to Oregon State. And it's sad and it's depressing and it's not right. And at the same time, it's where we are.
Does it kind of rob you of, like, even if, let's say Oregon wins by, whether you win by 10 or whether you win by 50, do you take any enjoyment out of it?
Oh, sure. Well, we still won. You know, anytime you beat the Beavers, it's good. But, I mean, I should say this. If we win by 10, then I'm a little concerned. And I also bet a friend I bet him a dollar and I get, so he gave me $5 and I gave him $1 and I gave him 50 points.
Mm. Whoa.
I like it.
That's confidence.
I think I made a good bet.
Yeah. God.
Well, and that says all you need to know, that even though it's a dollar, that you feel pretty confident about laying 50 points. That kind of stinks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would like to be able to express this feeling without being judged in my, or having my duckness questioned. Can I do that?
Yes.
Is this a safe space?
Yeah. No one will be judging.
We're in the
you.
Trust tree.
No one's listening anymore. Okay.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I do. Like, am I going to go out of my way to root for the Beavers? No. But will I, like, I don't know. It's not right. It's seriously not right what has happened to both Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, what we were talking, Wazoo lost to North Texas or someone by like 100 last week.
It was bad.
I mean, it's the fact that college now. So there's one thing, you know, for Oregon State being bad for 28 years. You know, that in the old world of college football, right? They just, I mean, you just couldn't figure it out and you sucked and that's awesome, right? Like, I can root against that. In this world where it is money driven, it is transfer driven, it is TV contract driven, it is like all the things that, you know, based on they're in Corvallis, Oregon, right? And so by all those metrics, they're not included. Like that, like I just this is old man yelling at the clouds, but I just have a hard time with it.
I have a question for you though. As a duck, you said that about Oregon State.
Yeah.
Would you ever say that about Washington?
Oh no, they're in Seattle and they have money, so screw them.
Well, like let me paint a scenario. Because what happened to Oregon State would not happen to Washington.
No.
But right. let's say Washington went to the Big Ten and Oregon was left out.
Well, then that's stupid on their part, and you know we're significantly cooler and better than Washington.
Well, what I'm getting at,
the Big Ten made a big mistake.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. I don't think through the lens of should the rivalry game continue. I wonder your thoughts, because I feel like the Oregon Washington rivalry should always continue no matter what. Oregon State may have run its course. Point being. Ooh. You know, ooh. You just what you just said, like, I mean, at this point, it's ooh. A pity party, whereas it, that would never happen with Washington. You see what I mean?
Did he just say that, Sook?
He did.
Did he say that Oregon and Oregon State should not play each other anymore?
That is the direct quote out of Asachi's yeah. mouth. And by the way, next year, they're not going to.
I'm on that train.
There's a lot of Beaver fans that feel that way, by the way. I would say the vast majority of Beaver fans that I've talked to, including three ex-players that I've chatted with over the last 2 weeks, kind of in the midst of this, you know, holy crap, what's happening? And I got to tell you, it is overwhelming that they don't want to play this.
Hi.
I get it.
They've lost hope, and they don't feel like it went from... Yeah, they knew Oregon was better, and they knew that it was an uphill battle and that sort of thing. To now, it feels like, from the people I talk to, it just feels like an inevitable ass-kicking that they don't want to endure. It's yeah. like a reminder of how far the gap has grown. And I think the vast majority of fans, at least the ones that have reached out to me, they don't want to do this.
Can you blame them?
No, I can't. I get it.
I mean, shoe's on the other foot. I would ask you, like, if something had happened to Oregon, you know.
Yeah, shoe on the other foot.
Yeah,
Oregon shoe. Oregon and Nike and, like, the shoe duck uniforms and good. I see what you did there.
I do want to talk to you about that because the voiceover thing, and we need to talk about that because that's really cool. But, no, let's say in a world where you no longer feel, because like, you take UW, right, because that's the whole, it was the big brother, little brother thing, and then you guys kind of rose up, and now there's this great rivalry. But if you got to the point where – you did not feel there was any way to be competitive with UW. And it was going to be like, you're going into these games and it's 5-6 touchdown spreads. And people are like, no, that's, you're going to cover. How many years before you're like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Damn it.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't like it when you make valid points that contradict the way that I feel. Yeah. That's not why I call into this radio show. That's like,
well, how do you feel? You feel like they should just...
I feel like Oregon and Oregon State should always play.
Always
like,
play.
Yeah, and okay. I feel that way,
always.
Too.
Always.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, it's peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. It's, you know, lamb and tuna fish. It's Oregon and Oregon State.
See, and I'm that way, too. I feel like, as a player, I would always want that opportunity. As a fan, I would always want that opportunity because... weird things happen. I mean, last year in the Apple Cup, something weird happened. A couple years ago, when 18 straight runs or whatever it was, weird things can happen. I just feel like that to me is I would ask Oregon State's AD, I would ask Oregon State's leadership, you got to do something because that feeling of hopelessness is real right now, and that's not okay. You can't allow
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. No, I'm going to interject here. I'm coming back at you, okay? Yeah. So Oregon State, Washington State, they're recreating the pack. They are putting together a group of schools that are going – they're going to demand that they are part of the Power Five again, right? So how can you have that feeling that you're part of the crew, that you are putting this thing – we're getting the band back together, and then at the same time, out of the other side of your mouth, say, yeah, but we're just not good enough to play Oregon and we can't compete. Like, it's one or the other, right? It's one or the other. Either we are in this thing and the new pack is back and we're better than ever and rah rah sis boom bah, or you know what, let's just scrap it and go join a conference with, well, I was going to say North Texas, but North Texas beat the hell out of Washington State. So right, do you see my point here? Like it's not an either or. You got to have them both. Either you're putting the conference back together, therefore you're going to go out and play the best teams, even if Oregon is significantly better than you, or you resign yourself to the fact of that college football has changed and you are no longer able to compete at the level that you once did, and you take a step back. But you can't do both.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, why can't they build the new league, but also say, forget you, Oregon, you left us. Things have changed.
Well, that's different. That's different from what Suk was saying, because Suk was saying that the Oregon State people that he talked to felt like they no longer had a chance. Like, if you're going in at 5 or 6 touchdown under, that was the whole point.
Yes.
Right? Mine is a little different. Screw you, Oregon, you left us.
Mine is a little different. I think Oregon State should not oblige Oregon and play with them, play against them for. Part of what Suk's, I mean, you know, they're at two completely different levels, but that can always change or you know, those ebbs and there are ebbs and flows there. To me, it's more, hey, you ruined the rivalry, not us. We're not playing you.
And I can see the valid point behind that if you want to be a spiteful little, you know, little punk. You know, but like that, I was going to say something else, but I caught myself. I was like, can I say it on the radio?
Yeah. You have before.
Yeah.
Coincidentally.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've got the drop. It's
wonderful. I'm not going to play it right now.
It's one of the best ones.
But stay tuned. After Joey hangs up, we'll play it.
It'll be a montage.
Oh wait. Yeah.
I have to tell my brother to turn it off the radio so my nephew doesn't hear.
Yes.
Because remember, you guys were blamed for
his albums.
But that's
Hey, anyway. We got to take credit for cleaning up. Well. That word. I mean, we've done a better job.
Yeah, we have.
We've been scolded behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're properly talked to.
Trust me. We've done better.
Yeah.
So we're growing. Okay. Well, you say play the rivalry. Okay. They're not going to play next year. We know that for sure.
Yes.
What if they, when they bring it back, they move it to November? Is that better?
Better for who? I mean, what?
The rivalry.
Are you asking me if I would have a stronger feeling about it in November than I do in September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
Because then there's always that potential of, you know, Oregon, we're competing for playoff, you know, conference championship, and Oregon State gets to, you know, screw you, I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah, the old right? bracket there's, buster.
There you go.
Yeah, but in September, it's just like,
Yeah, I know. That to me, I think it's hard on these rivalries when they're moved to September. It just doesn't feel the same.
No.
The weather's different. Not as much as on the line. It's just, as you've pointed out many times, a lot of strange things happen in November.
Yep.
And part of that is the nature of rivalry games. Well, we'll dare to dream. When we come back, we'll talk with Joey Harrington here, courtesy Mods PDX, about Shoe Duck, the Shoe Duck Unis. Also, we have question from listener for Joey when we return on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, Oregon, Oregon State, edition number 129 tomorrow. Ducks, 35-point favorites, but if you're just tuning in, Joey has already given his friend 50 points. He's that confident. Yeah.
Well, I did get 5-to-1 odds.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's, I guess yeah. That's odds versus.
I put up a dollar.
It'll pay better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 129, and I always forget this. Is it third longest in the country and longest west of the Mississippi?
I believe it's the long. It's not one, but it is the longest, I believe, in the western half of the country. But yeah, it's a top five.
Yeah.
I'll look up for you and get the exact one.
I'm on it. Lafayette and Lehigh, 159 plus. What that?
Ooh. Lafayette and Lehigh.
Yeah, the Minnesota-Wisconsin rivalry is the longest.
Yeah.
Beginning in 1906.
Mm.
God.
Ooh.
Uninterrupted.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop,
we'll find it. Oh, what do you think of...
We were talking about Shoe Duck.
Yeah, what do you think? Pretty sweet.
What
huh?
about... Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Time.
Those are my yeah. those might be the coolest uniforms they've ever worn.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. How cool is it to and like talk me through how did you end up getting to do the voiceover thing?
Oh, I did that like 2 years ago.
Oh, did you really?
not literally, but like it was one of those things where God, Michael came to me. How about this small world? The guy who did that, he was in Sub with Your Girl.
Oh, really? Yeah. I Love My Ducks or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Michael Bishop, a great guy, incredibly talented, so creative. He came to me. He's like, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what we're putting together. And, you know, it's to honor Phil. I was like, oh, yeah, like, of course. And so he kind of explained the project and what it's supposed to be like. And it's supposed to be a thank you note. And it's like, okay, cool. And I probably tried the voiceover. I tried to get him that audio like 173 times. And he's like, okay, this part's good, but this is what I want here. Okay. And this is okay. Okay. That part's better, but this, you know, you're too loud here or you need to have this. I was like over and over. And then I'd like the time I had it done, like the phone, my phone rang in the background. It's like it was a labor of love and he crushed it. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I just thought the whole thing and then like the behind the scenes stuff, going to the cabin and like all the details. Like I haven't always been the biggest fan of some of the stuff that they've done, but lately I'd say the last 8 years or so, I think everything Oregon has done has just been spot on. And these, like I said, might be my favorite of all time.
Yeah, I like the ideas that honor, I'm going to say the history, but there's a reason, there's a pretty significant reason why Oregon is where they are right now.
Yeah.
Right. And that guy's a pretty dang big part of that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to like trace all those things to be able to, the fact that it literally started here, mm-hmm. like this multi-billion dollar internationally known leader in sports literally started in our backyard. And it was because of this guy who is incredibly hardworking, who thought outside the box, who, who pushed the envelope, who wouldn't take no for an answer. And then once he got there, like to be able to recognize the place from which you came. Right. That's the thing that I think is so incredible about this. Like people get all pissed off because, oh, Phil Knight, you know, he writes checks and you guys go, well, yeah, sure. That's right. And Phil Knight's an Oregonian and Phil Knight is a Duck. And he recognized the role that community and that university played in his life and getting him to the place that he is now, and he chose to give back to it. Right, that's the part that just absolutely resonates with me as an Oregonian, as someone who has been around literally in every part of this country. There's a pride that I have in Oregon. There's a pride that, and not just the university. Sure, I love the University of Oregon, but there's a pride that I have in this state. And to see Phil represent us, and to see Phil give back to us in the way that he has, it's pretty awesome. Like it's really something special.
We talked about this earlier in the week as we were talking about, you know, donors and, you know, certain programs having people step up. And it is interesting, you know, it's like Phil doesn't have to do what he did, to your point. And big donors don't have to donate to football programs to help them get better or to help them compete. And when they do, oftentimes it's overlooked that it's probably because the university gave them something that meant something to them, right? Like, in other words, if there are some schools that, and look, not everybody has a Phil Knight, okay? But we were just talking about UCLA, great example. Mm-hmm. UCLA has so many big money alumni.
They don't care.
Nobody donates to that football program. Well, the question is why? You know, maybe they didn't have the experience and the connection given to them by the university that Oregon gave Phil Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some, I don't know. The school oftentimes doesn't get credit for getting that money back, even though they probably should.
Here's an example, and it's not a direct example, but it's my personal experience. I've told you this story. I was sitting in my living room as a 17-year-old. Well, I was 18. I just turned 18. Trying to decide, am I going to go to Oregon? Am I going to Stanford? And I had the Oregon hat on, and I tried in the mirror, and I put the Stanford hat on, and I told the coaches, like, the next day I'm going to make a decision. And I had no idea what the hell I was going to do. And my dad said, I'll never forget this, if you plan on living, working, and raising a family anywhere in the country, California, New York, Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, wherever you want to go, I'd go to Stanford, because that is going to open doors that an Oregon degree would not. But if you plan on working, living, raising a family in the state of Oregon, even if you have a mildly successful career, heck, even if you don't set foot on the field, the community that you will become a part of, the people that you will meet, the friendships that you will make, the bonds that will be created there for you will open more doors and will be more impactful than any piece of paper from a university anywhere else in the country. And now, I know that everybody's experience has not been the same. And sure, there are people who've gone to Oregon and walked out of there saying, yeah, you know, this was fine, but I'm moving on. But it's different. You know, obviously, I didn't start a multi-billion-dollar shoe company, but I had a similar experience. Like, this is an experience that I would say more often than not, if you talk to people who went to the University of Oregon, involved in the athletic department, involved, you know, like, there is a community that, I don't know, maybe I'm naive about it, but there's a community that I feel is different than a UCLA, than a Wisconsin, than, you know, name any other, you know, major public university out there. There's something different about Eugene, and I honestly think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, Oregon State rivalry, fifth in FBS, fifth most played in FBS.
Okay.
And it is the most played west of the Rocky Mountains.
Not too shabby. And then next year there's a break and then it comes back. So that is the official deal. It will skip Corvallis next year and then we'll come back in Eugene the year after that. And then we're back to the back and forth.
We have a listener question for you.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Yeah. Comes from a man named Doug. Dougie Doug.
Dougie, it could be Dougie Fresh.
Sure. Dougie Fresh points out that you were at the first Heisman ceremony after 9/11.
Oh. So I was at the first Heisman ceremony not held at the Downtown Athletic Club.
After 9/11.
Oh, where'd you guys have it?
Correct. Yeah. We had it at the Marriott Marquis. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he asked, what are your memories of that?
We But this we're way off topic on this. This is like a December question.
That's what we do.
Don't deny Doug.
Doug demands answers. He asks the tough questions.
Let's say this. When I was introduced as Joey Harrington by the president of the Downtown Athletic Club, mind you, when I was introduced as a finalist as Joey Harrington from Oregon State University,
jeez,
I knew that I was not going to win.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I looked to the server, the waiter to the left of me, and I said, "Are those drinks free?" And he said, "Yes, they are." And I said, "I will have two of them, and I will have the best weekend I could possibly have on your dime."
What
so
was the drink?
That is what I remember. I don't know, but it was free, and I wasn't going to win.
Yeah. All right. So, but the 9/11 thing.
That's a great story, by the way. That really is from Oregon State University. Drinks, please. Make that a double.
Make that a double and keep them coming. Was this supposed to be like a 9/11 question? Maybe that was the framework of the question.
Well, I think Doug wanted to know if it felt – what did it feel like having, you know, being there just right after –
Oh.
9/11. I think that was the root of the question, but
well, God, then you should have set me up like that. Jeez.
Well, I thought it was implied, but you only went to Oregon, not Stanford. So.
That's true.
Well, you said, what do I remember about that weekend? I don't know. That's what I remember about the weekend. Yeah. We did. Man, this is like super heavy. Like, uh-oh. You sure you want to go here?
No. But no. Doug is.
Doug is. Well, okay, Doug, it's your fault. We went and visited.
Yeah.
And it was the first week of December, and it was still smoldering.
Yeah.
I mean, it was of course blocked off, and you know the walls are up, and you know murals, and people had still had missing signs, and there were drawings from kids, and It was, I don't even want to use the word surreal because I'm not quite sure that adequately describes it, but like to have been there, what, May, we went, I think on Memorial weekend when the billboard went up, to have been there 6 months earlier and then all of a sudden to have that just be gone. Like it was, yeah, that it's honestly something that and not because I don't want to think about it, but I wonder if maybe like part of me has kind of blocked it out a little bit. Like that, it was heavy.
Yeah.
Like, it was intense. And I actually haven't been back to the new,
Freedom Tower.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. So my agent was based out of Connecticut. So when I signed with him, we flew out there. He was like Joe Flacco's agent and a couple other guys. And he had a little event and he was based out of Connecticut. So I flew out, they flew us all out there to New York. We flew into New York and then drove into Connecticut. And so that was in, I want to say that was December or January, and same thing. It was smoldering. And so the pilot banked his wings so that we could see it. And I don't remember if it was JFK or LaGuardia. I don't remember which one it was in, but you know, it was this real kind of weird tone. And he said, if you look out the left, and he goes, we'll take a quick bank. And you know, you're pretty low coming in. And yeah, the whole thing, it looked like it was still on fire. Like there was a significant amount of smoke and smolder still coming up from it. And, I remember how big it was, like the area. It's massive. Like you think of two buildings, but the actual footprint of it that had gone down. I've never been on an airplane that was quieter. Like no one said, there wasn't an ooh, there wasn't an ah, there wasn't a picture. It just was a weird, eerie silence. And then we landed. Yeah. Same
kind of like, this show.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden at the end, there's this weird, eerie silence. Yeah. And then we go to commercial.
No, we have to play your bitch drop first.
That's true.
But wait, what? Who won the Heisman? The Crouch?
Yeah, right.
Crouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
One of the worst Heismans of all time.
I call him like once a year and ask him how my trophy's doing.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. Do you really?
The best. Oh, sure I do. Of course. And the best answer he's given me is, it's looking pretty damn good on my shelf. I was like, yep, touche.
Who else was there?
Kenny Dorsey and Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Oh, sexy Rex.
Super Bowl quarterback Rex Grossman, please. Thank you.
All right. Okay, man. Good luck on your 50-point bet.
Yeah, I could come up big this weekend. $5.
You could. You also may not.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
Okay, bye.
Mods PDX, the future of building is here. Joey Harrington each Friday at 5:30. It's only a matter of time before this happened, and it's here, Jason. Are you ready to lose some weight? Because I am.
6'8", lose some weight.
Eli Lilly coming through. That's next on The Fan.
You freaking bitch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.